Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
Mully and Hall. Live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
All at two. Tapper first base side. Abreu is on it. Jose got to the bag. One gone. Will it stand?
For me, he's out at first base. I mean, Jose, the only thing he could do was lunge with a foot to first and watch the foot.
That's an out, Steve.
Yep. Well, I thought he was out in real time, and I still think he's out. And I think after they review it in New York, he is still going to be out.
It's got to stand.
Well, it is kind of amazing, the call by Brian Knight, and he's out, and two to go.
Now, do you risk bearing a slider because Perez will screw himself into the ground after looking at three high fastballs in a row?
What would you do?
To me, I'd throw him something off speed. If you feel better with the changeup, you go with that. But the slider, Carlos has supreme confidence in. Zach's got to block it.
Inside, Perez. He got hit by it. Perez got clipped by the slider. Wow. What a way to end the perfect game bid. Carlos is talking to him.
He said, really? Can't you fake this one? It actually got him off the top of the foot.
My goodness. Carlos Rodon will not be perfect tonight, but the no-hitter is still available.
Carlos Rodon on one and two.
Called strike three on the inside corner or in the neighborhood. And one out for a no-hitter.
Three and two. Rodon. To third, Moncada. Carlos Rodon has thrown a no-hitter.
It's a pretty special moment. Not many people can say they've thrown a no-hitter in Major League Baseball. Yeah, and we always talk about it. It seems like any interview with all you guys, normal people here, it's always like, oh, there's been some up and downs, and you know, what's it like to go through that and go through some adversity? And it just feels good to finally sit here and tell you I dominated today, and it felt good. I've never really done that. I've never done it on this level, at least, and it feels good to say I did it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Carlos Rodon from the post game, and our thanks to the fine folks at NBC Sports Chicago for the highlights. And David, a friend of mine sent me something here that I want to read to you. This, to me, is pretty extraordinary. Now, you remember, was it a year ago around this time that we were in lockdown and we were working, and I think the big thing to talk about was that Jordan documentary, right, with the Bulls, and we were lucky enough to have Terry Francona on. Tito, one of the class guys,
oh, yeah,
in baseball.
That was about a year ago.
It was about a year ago. And so, you know, I'm very fond of him, and I know you are too, and it was a great conversation. So this is from the Elias Sports Bureau, and you will, of course, remember the name Walter Alston. He was the Brooklyn Dodgers manager. Yep. Smokey Alston was a manager, was a player and a manager with 3,610 games without being on the losing end of a no-hitter. So first on that streak is a guy named Bucky Harris. He managed the Washington Senators back in 1919, beginning his career. He went 3,661 games without being on the losing end. So it's Bucky Harris, Smokey Alston. Third on that list is Terry Francona. Tito went 3,146 games without being on the losing end of a no-hitter up until last night.
Wow.
And that's his career. He had not been on the losing end of a no-hitter, according to the Elias Sports Bureau, which is an extraordinary length of time, especially when you think about those guys. Here's what he said last night. He said, he kind of overwhelmed us. I think I had spoken before the game, and I said, when he's good, he gets stronger as the game goes. And you know what? You saw him touch 99 and throw 114 pitches, and his breaking ball got better, and he even threw some changeups. He got into a rhythm and just got stronger as the game went on.
Without a doubt, he touched 99 in the ninth, and that's great respect coming from a guy who is, you know, is a Hall of Fame caliber manager in his own right in Terry Francona, one of the nicest guys in baseball to boot, and that's nice to hear. You know, more history, Mully. It was a night of this kind of thing going on with milestones. Rodon, the first pitcher in American League history to win his first two starts of a season while allowing no more than two hits in those first two starts. And then the other part of history, I think, is what we're all identifying with and what makes this such a remarkable story. It's significant because of the comeback. And 23 months ago, Carlos Rodon underwent Tommy John surgery. And this was less than two years after he underwent major shoulder surgery. And he became last night the first MLB pitcher ever to throw a no-hitter within 2 years of having Tommy John surgery.
Wow.
And that's history, and that's what makes this so special. And, you know, I can remember with Rodon coming back from – it was either the shoulder surgery or the Tommy John surgery, him during an interview with Chuck Garfine talking about having actual nightmares about going under the knife before he actually was a patient, but having nightmares. And now it's so much fun to see him kind of, you know, living this dream and living it out because he overcame what he overcame, and that's what makes what happened last night all the more special.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know. I mean, it was great to hear him talk about the people in his life who helped him get to that point. And I don't know, David, that I believed it possible, honestly. I mean, I really like Carlos Rodon. I was hoping that he would do well this year. I was on board with the fun story out of spring training. But if I really think about how I felt, I wasn't sure that it was a good idea. I remember saying to you that I wasn't sure the guy would pitch 50 innings this year.
Right.
And I was worried about his health and as the fifth starter. And I think I even said that there was a part of me that hoped that Ronaldo would win that fifth starter spot.
Yep.
Because I felt that he might be, if that would signal that he was improving and maybe he'd help moving forward, as crazy as that sounds right now. But it's you know, and I got no problem being wrong about that, and I hope I am wrong about that, and I hope that I hope this is the start of a glorious season for the guy.
But the skepticism was earned because I remember the conversation because I was trying to basically, you know, talk myself out of investing more hope in Carlos Rodon, a guy who I had been burned by before in trying to think that, okay, I'm projecting him as I believed it when they thought he could be the ace or a top of the rotation starter when he was coming up. I believed it when they said, okay, he's going to be fine now and he's back and all these things. And I was trying to check myself and temper those expectations going into this year because Frankly, he was a pitcher who they didn't tender for good reason. They gave a $3 million prove-it contract for understandable reasons. And the fact that you questioned whether or not he belonged in the rotation was legitimate. So what happened last night kind of, all right, now you sort of rethink what you are expecting out of Carlos Rodon, but now it's appropriate to think that because he's proven to be the guy that we have been waiting for.
And you could do both things. I mean, you can question what the future holds and where you're going to be at and how you're going to feel in a few weeks. And you know, we played to open the program this morning at 5 o'clock a conversation we had about whether it was fair when he missed the start with the stomach ailment to start thinking like, oh, no, something's wrong with Carlos Rodon. And it's absurd because it's not an arm injury. It's not a shoulder. It's a stomach ailment, and he's fine. And it, you know, maybe it aided him with the no-hitter. I don't know. But it's just the sort of thing that you're going to have to see the season unfold. It's
yes.
been glorious to start. And I couldn't be happier for the guy with what happened yesterday.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk to James Fegan from The Athletic in a little bit. But, Mully, I think with the bigger picture, what this means in the context of the White Sox start and their season, you take a step back and now you look at it, okay, they're 6-6. And it's almost like you felt a week ago when Lance Lynn threw his complete game shutout and kind of threw the bad weather and he persevered and he went out for that ninth inning and you wondered, okay, what does this mean? You kind of hit reset now. Here, the Sox have an opportunity to build off this from a momentum standpoint. I liked what Carlos Rodon said post-game about it being, you know, baseball is a sport that humbles you, and he's looking forward to enjoying it for 24 hours as the game lets you. But 5 days later, he's going to be back on the mound trying to, you know, not duplicate a no-hitter, but certainly maintain some consistency now. So now the Sox can... You know, the first 12 games have been somewhat uneven. You've had a lot of, you know, controversy, consternation, a lot of questions. But now maybe they can start to resemble the team that we thought that they could be. And they build off of this in a big way.
And I want to reiterate what I said earlier that, you know, and I know people are, you know, well, you know, how good were the Indians last night, blah, blah, blah. Listen, that's a good team, man. That is a good baseball team. And that is a team that was trying to break up the perfect game, the no-hitter, right to the last at-bat, okay? And if you doubt that, then take a look at that Josh Naylor slide. Take a look at – I mean, that was a
yes.
that was a hair close. That was – if his lead arm doesn't go past the base and not hit it, that guy is safe at first base by diving into the bag on a little grounder to Jose Abreu, who effectively had to do the splits in order to get to the bag. And you're absolutely right, David. I said earlier that one of the things that I was only nitpicking, but one of the things that that did really kind of bother me is that Carlos somehow got lost in that moment and wasn't covering first, which is an absurd comment to make, but it did go through my head. And it didn't matter because Abreu had it covered. He was going to do it himself, and he was going to do whatever it took. And then after that play, you know, you got the Roberto Perez wearing the Bozo shoe. I don't know how the hell he got one on, but there you have it.
Size 17s. Come
on. That'd be awesome. Wouldn't it be great if we found out that he had a shoe two sizes larger or something?
That would be great. I want an investigation. Look into that, okay? Yeah, that would be fun. What a play by Abreu, the one of the night's many heroes. I also think that maybe an unsung hero in all of this, and I'm curious to get to the bottom of this. We can ask James Fegan about this as well. You know, Ethan Katz, who I mentioned, had said something we don't know to Carlos Rodon before the ninth inning. But a lot has been made about the tweaks that, as a 708 texter points out, Katz helped Rodon make to his delivery, the mechanics from the lower part of his body, and how that may have changed him as a pitcher going into a season where he still, you know, is in recovery mode within the first 2 years of a surgery like that. And I want to know what impact Ethan Katz may have had on the Carlos Rodon resurgence, because I think that's not insignificant based on what we know and frankly, based on what we've seen.
Yeah, that's great stuff, David. And we'll do that next with James Fegan of The Athletic. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
3-2. Rodon. Oh.
to third. Moncada. Carlos Rodon has thrown a no-hitter.
Second start of the year. It's going to be hard to top this one. Now, you know, baseball gives you, I think we said it, Lance Lynn said it a couple days ago when he threw that CG shutout. He goes, baseball gives you 24 hours, and then what's his name from San Diego threw that no-hitter. And then I come up and throw the no-hitter. I mean, baseball's pretty humbling. It's that quick. It'll eat you, spit you out, and sometimes it'll reward you. So it's kind of the same mentality I have to have. I got 5 days from now. Obviously, right now I'm going to enjoy the moment, but tomorrow work starts all over. Because there's quite a few more starts to go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That, of course, the voice of Carlos Rodon. We want to thank NBC Sports Chicago for the final call. And we are delighted to welcome in James Fegan of The Athletic, brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan. Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. James, good morning. How are you?
Morning, James.
I am a little fatigued.
Yeah.
To be honest,
I got to tell you, I think it was somewhat brilliant of us to book you for this morning, because maybe we felt that this was coming. There had to be something in the air. Maybe it was the sage in the clubhouse. But a remarkable story, a remarkable performance. How do you put it in perspective, knowing Carlos Rodon, knowing what he's gone through, and witnessing what you saw last night?
It feels like it could be very hard to, because it's a very broad story. It's you know, you've seen him at so many low points that kind of came flooding to the mind. Watching him go through that. The thing I remembered immediately was him when he first got Tommy John surgery in 2019. He was on my flight to Minnesota when I was going to cover that series, and you know, he almost seemed to leave at the time. You know, compared to the previous five starts, where like he was, you know, basically pitching through what would be his elbow going out eventually. And I just remember his his arm being covered in so much gauze and wrap, and it looked like saran wrap was all around his left shoulder. And he was like, just kind of bluntly saying like, hey, well, I only had 75% chance of, pitching again after the shoulder surgery. And I got 92 after this. So, you know, things are looking pretty good. You know, when the GMs talk to you about surgeries, they don't tell you like, well, there's a 25% chance I'll never pitch again or anything like that. But those are kind of the blunt, you know, dark terms that he was facing. And, you know, for him to come on the other side of that, alongside so many other things, or, you know, being non-tendered or having to win a rotation spot this spring, or just going through years of just not being effective, or people thinking he should be a reliever. There's so much that seemed like it should be detours to getting back to a moment like this that, I'm sure there's been so many more that haven't happened in the public eye that it's kind of astounding.
Absolutely. And you saw that emotion come out after the game, James. I thought it was really cool. You don't see guys celebrating no hitters with two scars on their throwing arm. And that just is something that's remarkable about this story. And so when somebody in a year from now, when 5 years from now, asks you, what do you remember most about the Carlos Rodon no hitter? What are a couple of the images that you think will stand out in your memory?
Well, it's funny because, like, I wasn't thinking about it until maybe the fourth or fifth inning. I mean, there's been all the angst about the offense that hadn't scored any runs, and they kind of put this one out of reach early. You didn't notice the fact that, like, Rodon was kind of cruising until the fourth or fifth. I guess, you know, so many post-game interviews with Rodon, he's just, like, the quietest tones, barely audible, barely picking up on your recorder, just, like, seemingly so subdued and not thrilled with where he was. So I'll probably just remember, and, you know, obviously only having 7,000 fans in the stands kind of helps, but just hearing him like yell and his satisfaction after some of the laid outs of being able to, you know, power his fastball by people, something he couldn't do for a 4-year period, essentially. I remember talking to him in 2019 about how he's basically throwing 50 sliders a game that time because he's sitting in like 90, 91. If he was going to like, you know, basically become a Patrick Corbin type of guy who just throws his breaking ball all the time. And he just didn't seem down with it. Like, I can understand why. He always thought he could become this kind of guy again. And hearing his level of happiness and satisfaction with being able to do that, you know, it's striking.
We discussed this morning, we were doing kind of an unlikelihood ranking. If someone had come to you and said that on April 14th, Carlos Rodon was going to throw a no-hitter, if someone had said that before spring training, would you have been more likely to believe that, or that Zach Collins would be the catcher of that no-hitter, or that Yermin Mercedes would go 3-for-5 and hit a 430-foot home run to reinforce his status as the best offensive player on the team, or that Andrew Vaughn would be playing left field and have 5 putouts in said no hitter. There's so many things that you might not have believed not that long ago that it's just extraordinary to kind of list them.
Right. I mean, once you saw Rodon in spring, you saw the velo and you saw the life on it. You could get yourself convinced on the idea that he would have a good night. Zach Collins, up until even the middle of March, I was skeptical on whether he'd make the team. Certainly, the same thing with Mercedes. I don't know what I would pick. I guess I'd be most surprised by Vaughn, just confused. But it's a lot of people. There was a lot of people mobbing Rodon at that moment that you could think about, like, at some point they were counted out, that they were being told that this was unrealistic. Certainly Collins, 5 years after being drafted, so many times where it looked like so many scouts who said there was no chance that he could catch. I remember when Nick Hostetler had that quote at a Sox Fest saying that, he was the 10th overall pick, but he would have picked them first if he could. And I remember I had an AM scout text me from another team right after that and said, he would be a first overall pick if we thought there was even a 10% chance he could catch. It was that level of skepticism. Wow. So him being on hand for that, him managing that beautifully, it's an incredible testament to him. I would say it's surprising, but at no point did the White Sox ever give up on him catching. So I would say they're more than 10% sure of it.
James, do we know what Ethan Katz, the new Sox pitching coach, said to Carlos Rodon before the ninth inning? And overall, if we don't know that, can you help us understand what changes he made to Carlos Rodon's mechanics, especially the lower body mechanics, that have made such a difference this season?
I don't know what he said, but I know it's all been about riding his back leg. That I don't know if you could see it just from the naked eye, but it always seemed like Rodon's delivery, he would get to this point on his front foot and just kind of, it seemed like his momentum would pause a little bit. He just kind of fire. It didn't look like he was following through. It would always look a little stiff on the finish. You felt like you didn't see someone as fluid as a Mark Burley comes to mind. So it was always about someone who just always has had these tree trunk legs to really have that point of balance while he's riding on his back leg as his body gets forward. And so much of that came through core velocity belt work. So much of that came through kind of drills to focus on, not spinning on his toe to power his delivery and putting stress on, maybe weaker points of his legs. It was all about kind of taking the fuel that was always there, in his back leg and using it. And you saw the velo jump come, really immediately. You saw spurts of it last season, but it's been so much more consistent now. But you really see the life on the heater. You can throw it by people. There's people who, only sit 92, 93. Giolito comes to mind, but when they execute their fastball well, they can throw it by people. And now Rodon is doing that in, 96, 98. It just opens up so many things for him. This is a guy who basically had a promising career, would show good stuff in spurts, was really only one pitch that was really consistent, and it's his slider. And now it just seems like, the whole potential is accessible to him.
So I confessed to David this morning that I was kind of hoping Ronaldo would take a step forward and maybe even be the fifth starter. And I wasn't sure about Carlos Rodon just because, you know, it's asking a lot. And I didn't know that he was going to be able to come back from that. And I'm, you know, I really hope he has a great year. I really like the guy, and I think it's a great story. But, you know, I don't know if I put an over-under on innings where I would be because of some of these injuries. Do we think about him differently now? Now that this has happened in the first two games and the way that he has kind of recaptured what was there, do we change our season expectations with him in particular?
Yeah, I don't think he's – I mean, normally when a guy wins the fifth starter battle, you kind of assume he's, you know, looking over his shoulder or he's the first man out of the rotation if there's difficulties or anything like that. You know, certainly this team was conceived with a top three guys in mind, especially if they are able to advance to the playoffs. I'm not saying like Rodon barges his way into that. And certainly he would be the first to say consistency is something he needs to demonstrate. And I'm sure there are scouts who will talk about whether or not, you know, his delivery is still at a point where he'll be consistently on time and really execute the level he was at tonight. Or not tonight. My brain has to move beyond the level of sleep I got.
You haven't been to bed. Yeah.
But, yeah, I think you have to start thinking about what his ceiling can be and what he can reach a lot differently. I mean, he's now sitting about probably 5-6 miles per hour above what we thought he was, you know, even a year ago. And, you know, when he does that, you know, the first thing I remember asking Ethan Katz about, like, oh, it's going to open up. What is it going to do for Rodon to have this, you know, this velocity, have this kind of overpowering fastball he can get swings and misses with? And he said the main thing you should look for is a changeup, is that he's going to be able to pitch off of it so much more now. We saw a little bit of that last night, you know, more than a little bit. I think he threw 26 changeups, which is not the Carlos Rodon you typically think of. I think at the least considering him to be a guy who could pitch in the playoffs or be a somewhat of a mid-rotation guy is something you should conceive of as possible a lot more now.
So, James, where are you on what happened with Roberto Perez? We're speculating that he was wearing oversized spikes to get hit in the foot, possibly not getting out of the way. What did you think about that play? And what I don't think it took anything away from the moment or the night, but it was a source of controversy a little bit.
I mean, I thought in pitching, you call it a back foot slider. I think that was the first person to say, like, it's a back foot slider, but it just got a little too literal. I mean, I think they speculate that, Collins was talking about he just didn't recognize the spin on the ball, you know, which is what you want from a good slider. And as a result, he wasn't instinctively diving away from it and wound up getting caught by it. I didn't think there was anything controversial about it. I mean, it's funny to hear the fans yelling at the ump as the replays are coming in. And you can just see it clear as day, hit him in the foot. And it's like there's nothing you can say about it. But, if nothing else, he has a line free of any walks, which, you know, if you watch Rodon in his worst moments, that seemed inconceivable. I think I've watched him walk four or five guys in an inning at some of his worst moments when he was trying to find his mechanics. But, yeah, I don't think it takes anything away from it. And, you know, what I really was struck by when it happened was that he reacted to it by smiling. This has been one of the most brooding guys of the last couple of years. It's been so unhappy with where his performance level is at that he could be in that moment just kind of still, like, just having fun with something that, you know, his coaches noted that so many people who have been rooting for him are so happy to see him be able to do in the middle of the game because it's been a while.
Great stuff, James. Thanks a ton. Really appreciate you getting up with us. Great, great stuff.
Nice job, James.
Okay. Good night. Going to bed.
That's James Fegan. We dragged him out of the rack in order to talk about it. And that's great stuff. And I don't know that we're going to have a better story, a more uplifting story in Chicago sports this year. I hope so. I hope we have a bunch of them. But that was an extraordinary moment for him, and it was great to hear about the relationship with Ethan Katz and the things they worked on. He talked about the velocity belt in the post game. We'll continue the conversation. 312-644-6767. You want to get a velocity belt? Huh? You think you can turn it around? We'll discuss it next, Mully and Haw on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
0-2. Tapper first base side. Abreu is on it. Jose got to the bag. One gone. Will it stand?
For me, he's out at first base. I mean, Jose, the only thing he could do was lunge with a foot to first and watch the foot.
That's an out, Steve.
Yep. Well, I thought he was out in real time, and I still think he's out. And I think after they review it in New York, he is still going to be out.
It's got to stand.
Well, it is kind of amazing. The call by Brian Knight, and he's out, and two to go.
I've seen that slow chopper, and I mean, hell of a hustle from Naylor, obviously. And then the hell of a play, the sliding tag in the first, which freaked me out because I didn't want him to blow out his knee. I was kind of concerned about that, but unbelievable play. I mean, a play that led to the no-hitter. Without that play, we don't get there.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Wow, what a great finish to that game, and our thanks to the fine folks at NBC Sports Chicago. That play was very well described, Stoney. Very confident about the result of it, and I got to tell you, hearing Carlos Rodon talk about it, he really appreciated the Abreu play. He was worried for his health, given the way that, you know, when lunging to get that leg in, he kind of had to do a little bit of a splits. And when you watch that replay, I think the thing that really jumped out to me was how desperately Josh Naylor was trying to break up the perfect game no-hitter at
trying
that
hard.
Point. He was really
absolutely.
I mean, he was tear arson down the line. So, he was disappointed when he was called out.
Of course. Yeah, they were trying. They were competitors. I think they wanted to kind of ruin things and just get on base, get a base runner. I would suggest that Jose Abreu extended himself so much he deserves the day off, but I don't know if the Sox can do without Andrew Vaughn in left field. I think that's how valuable he's made himself with the five putouts. No, you know what? I mean, talking to James Fegan was interesting, Mully. We mentioned about the Ethan Katz addition, yep. And I felt like he did a nice job of explaining, you know, there's so much about last night. But I think that on the micro level, when you look at the changes mechanically that Katz helped Carlos Rodon make, so the velocity went up because of the changes he made to the lower part of his mechanics and delivery, and that's from the micro level. You can appreciate that. And then from the macro, certainly you celebrate everything else about what the no-hitter represents. A guy with two major surgeries within 2 years of Tommy John, his wife tweeting about them being through hell and back. And so overall, it's easy to say this now on the morning after. We're sort of in the afterglow, but it would be hard to envision until the White Sox clinch a playoff spot, a night any more satisfying this season than last night was for White Sox fans.
It was a fantastic night. I you know, we're doing our baseball confessions. I got to be honest with you. When I heard about the changes they were making with Carlos Rodon, I don't even know if skepticism would be the word. I just felt at his age, at 28 years old, the idea of him kind of, well, now we're going to move your back leg and look, you're going to do. I thought to myself, like, oh, God, this is not going to end well. This is not a happy story. I don't understand how that's going to work, quite frankly. And to be honest with you, David, I heard much of the same about Ronaldo Lopez and the things they had noticed right away with Ronaldo, and then Giolito saying, oh, the curveball's back where it was in Washington. And then when he got out there, ugh, it was just horrific. And I thought, oh boy, you know, this whole, not that Ethan Katz isn't good, not that everything isn't going to work. I just felt it'll work with some guys and it won't work with others. And I don't know that I felt that Carlos Rodon was the number one candidate at his age to kind of change something with his style of pitching. And I'm guessing the velocity belt was just as important as any of the footwork stuff, just because I read James Fegan's story in the Athletic, where he talks about when Rodon is in spring training and he has a couple of at-bats against Manny Machado and strikes him out, and the heater's back. Like, he had velocity on the fastball, and he knew he was able to pitch at that point.
Absolutely. And you know what else I think that last night while we're studying Rodon and kind of, you know, remembering the evolution of him since he was drafted in 2014, we talk so much about the draft, the pre-draft process, whether it's the NFL draft 2 weeks from today or, you know, these scouts and these organizations, they do so much research and they spend so much time talking to people because they want to know about the makeup of these prospects. And there is really no way to quantify that until nights like last night. And with Carlos Rodon, the best example and the best way to describe what his makeup is to watch how he got through last night and everything that he overcame to get to that point. And I think that's what's difficult. The stories about him at NC State, staring down his manager every time he wanted to take him out of the game, the tales of intensity that he brought to the table. And we have seen that. And frankly, that's what I've said about why I like Carlos Rodon is one of my favorite pitchers to watch for the White Sox, is because he wears it on his sleeve. And never was that more evident last night. The competitor in him, you know, he got through the adversity and to get to that moment. And when he had it, he seized it. And so this is fun because it really, you know, you appreciate how far he has come to get to this point.
The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app, 312-644-6767. Let's get to Jordan. He's in Libertyville.
Hey, Jordan.
Hey, you know what I kept thinking about was the seventh inning, Cleveland Indians. They're going for the playoffs. And Renteria puts, you know, Rodon in that bad situation. Oh. He gives up those runs, and then you kind of blame Renteria, you kind of blame him, and it's not really his fault, but I'm glad to see the guy overcame that.
Yeah, I mean, didn't they show some
of
that? I was surprised they chose to show it, frankly, but okay. I mean, it's, I guess we got to look at that again, but what are you going to do?
You had repressed that memory, and now you have to kind of go through it again. But that's also part of the entire story. You know, that's part of what motivated him to be the pitcher that he knew that he could be after not being tendered, after being forgotten, and after being offered basically a one-year prove-it deal. Well, last night went a long way toward proving something.
Dave is in Naperville. Morning, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Oh, we lost Dave. Sorry. Listen. I look at the glory of what happened last night, and I understand, you know, you can take these moments and you can celebrate them for what they're worth. And it was one of those days where you're just so happy to be the first bite at the apple to kind of keep the, you know, we didn't have to cancel the post game show. We just kept that alive, and here we are. And it was, you know, I was happy to not sleep, get any sleep, in order to stay up and to watch that and to watch the post game and to just sit back and absorb it and take it in. It was that kind of a moment, and I'm so happy for the guy. Now, how that translates to today, to the rest of the season, to whether we're going to be calling Tony La Russa Tony La Renteria, as somebody did earlier.
Ouch.
You know, it's – oh, yeah. I think – It was a moment in time, but good God, that was so much fun and so exciting. And I honestly believe that the greatest moment was when he laughed after blowing the perfect game and then finished the thing out. I just thought that was a veteran player. That was a guy that's been down the road. That's a guy that wasn't overwhelmed by anything that happened.
And that was a guy savoring where he was and the experience, because he knew that there was still something to pitch for, something that, you know, okay, no perfect game, fine, maybe even better. I'm going to get the no-hitter because it's just one more thing to have to overcome. You know, is momentum real? I don't know. We're having a good back and forth on Twitch with the Twitchers about whether or not there's a value in momentum and can the Sox build off this moment. I don't know. I mean, Lance Lynn represents the momentum today because he's the next day's starting pitcher. You know, if they go 10 innings, he'll want the ball for the 10th. You know that he's going to probably give the bullpen an extended vacation.
Better than Gary Crochet.
Exactly. Well,
let's have that argument again.
See, I'm just so glad that Carlos Rodon changed the subject, so we didn't have to go through the Crochet dilemma once again.
All right, great stuff. We're going to bring in Dan and Layla next. It's Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.